Welcome back. Thanks for inviting me into your homes. Earlier, I was trying to remember George Norrie was speaking with someone about the rise of the police state in reference to one of an earlier caller who had been pulled over tonight by police, and he didn't think that it was justified. That was John Whitehead that spoke to George. That was on Tuesday night. President of the Rutherford Institute, John Whitehead, and he was talking about the rise of the police state in the United States, and he was the one that brought up the fact that this is an issue of training. If police were trained properly, and we get back to a situation where they have respect for us and recognize that, you know, we're paying their salary, they're to serve and protect us, then it might redress some of the imbalance that's taking place. But let's face it, a lot of people are on edge, not only the police, but the people that they're stopping. And when you've got a nervous cop with a gun and a nervous person, you know, who's been pulled over to the side of the road, that can be a recipe for disaster. We will get back to open lines here in just a moment. If you've got a line, hold on to it. And just want to remind you about the Coast Insider Club, in case you're not a night owl. Let's face it, we're not all night owls, but it's a problem that's very easily resolved. If you've got 15 cents, you can spend a day. That's all it takes. And then you're an insider. You just go to Coast AM, sign up, 15 cents a day. You get to listen to past shows going back. Oh, my gosh, it's thousands of shows now that are at your disposal. 5 years you can go back and listen to programs. Not only that, but it gives you access to monthly live chats with George and other guests. Again, go to coasttocoastam.com, sign up now, and become a Coast Insider. Back with Coast to Coast AM and your calls. My name is Richard Serrett. Caller line Jay is in San Diego. Jay, thanks for your perseverance. Good morning.
Thank you. I've been waiting 25 years for this program. 25 years and 3 hours and 10 minutes. So I appreciate taking my call. I was born in San Francisco in the early 60s. My parents were both middle-class people. I grew up ostensibly as a normal person. However, when I got into my young adulthood, I started to notice some things and subsequently found out through a series of events that I was involved in the what's called the MK Ultra program, although I have to say that that's basically a cover, that this goes much deeper than that, that it's intergenerational and it has to do with basically bloodlines and a genetic connection to all this. The process of programming a child involves using the natural ability of a human being to escape pain or any kind of a life-threatening situation in which we naturally dissociate. So when the caveman was attacked by a tiger, if he got away, he would be able to escape without feeling any pain until later on when he was safe. In this case, what they did with the children was far more insidious than any description that your guest gave. It involved all manner of tortures in order to get the child to dissociate. And once that was done, it's very systematic. At each level, brainwave level, and you're right about the EEG feedback, that was used. They program according to the child's propensity. Whatever the child is gifted at, in my case, I was a psychic, I was a natural empath. Now, this runs in families, and both my parents were involved, but primarily what they want is the female, the mitochondrial DNA. It's a connection to what you asked, what is this all about? We have to look at it from a different perspective. This goes far back beyond the post-World War II period. What happened during World War II was in Nazi Germany. There was a lot of things going on in the concentration camps involving experimentation in this area. This is not well known because it was covered up because many of these people were brought over here after the war. My primary programmer was a man who was named Dr. Green. However, many of the people, particularly children on the West Coast, have identified him as Dr. Joseph Mengele. as incredible
it's
as
true.
That
It has been speculated that, that Mengele did make it to the United States and he was stationed at China Lake.
Yes, and I was one of his proteges. Now, the Bourne Identity, which Robert Ludlum wrote many, many years ago, is fairly close. However, when you're dealing with this, you're looking at various levels of brainwave entrainment. The profile for people involved in this is actually what people would not suspect. It's actually the brighter you are, the more intelligent you are, also the more creative you are, the propensity to go in deep and stay focused in a trance state.
Once Jay, could I ask you? Could I ask you something here? Jump in and ask you.
Sure.
First of all, how did you learn about your involvement in this program? Were these recovered memories?
Yes, they were recovered memories. I did not recover them in therapy with a hypnosis. It's very difficult for people to. For therapists to get through this, because what they do, this is, again, this goes back far beyond, this back generation after generation. And it's very difficult to get at the memories because we're talking about severe torture in which it's life-threatening, and the child is told if they're ever, they'll kill them, and they'll kill their family. And the child is, can accept that. This is a criminal organization. It's international.
If I could go back to my initial question, though, Ajay, I'm curious to know how you were able to remember these things. When did these memories come flooding back, and how?
All right. I was working in a job, like a normal person. It was 1988. In the course of my work at this job, a sphere of light entered into the room I was in. I had five of the witnesses. It's stayed there, hovered there for like maybe what seemed like an eternity. The lights flickered on and off, the TV went off, and then it left. And everybody in the room was shocked, frightened. I immediately ran outside and tried to find out where it went. Subsequent to that, I had a year and a half of what rashes, headaches, nausea. I started having flashbacks. And the flashbacks initially involved what was commonly referred to as alien abductions. Now, the reason that's involved is because what I was going to get to is when you ask what is this all about, this is a hierarchy of slaves. And at the very pinnacle of it, it's an off-planet. It's off-planet. In other words, we're a colonized planet. And the colonization is basically still taking place. It's a colonization in which, again, intergenerationally, children are programmed and based on the parents' profile and they're put into projects, various programs. Some go into, like I said, I was a natural psychic, so I was at Stanford Research Institute when I was a child. My earliest memories go back to age of four, like your guest was saying. They have to have a child has to, this process has to start before the age of five, because you have to get a child before their ego identity is confirmed. You get them earlier than that, they're very malleable, so you can create these multiple identities, which is basically the child pretending they aren't themselves anymore.
It's been, Jay, you've heard this before, I'm sure, but it has been suggested that the alien abduction phenomena is actually is a cover, that these are implanted memories, and that the alien abduction phenomena is a cover for these mind control programs, which are being perpetrated by, people right here on this planet, never mind the extraterrestrials. How do you feel about that?
I'll tell you in my own case, and I've worked with many people over the years. I started working with people in the abduction field and then moved on to working with other people. In my opinion, all alien abductees are monarch programmed. Now, in some cases, there are what I call street theater, where they actually dress other children up as aliens and create this atmosphere in which it's obviously Okay. Then, in other cases, as in mine, there are legit, this is what, in other words, we are, these people are related to us. In other words, the higher up you go in this hierarchy, and you get into people like presidents, and if you look at the presidential ancestry, you'll see a connection. I mean, there's no accident we're having Bush and Clinton, and, you know, I mean, how many Bushes are we going to have in the White House? These are dynastic agencies. This is why it's called the Monarch Project. And the network, when your guest talked about how do children get into these programs, the connection is Freemasonry. And these people that are involved in the intelligence community, this is the octopus, the web that connects this. In every, in any particular, even the police. I got rides to programming centers in police cars. No, not obviously not all police are involved, but you don't need everybody involved. You need key people in key positions.
All right, Jay, I gotta jump in here because I have lots of people waiting, and this is, we're sort of going off in, you know, madly off in all directions with the Freemasons and alien abductions and mind control. I get what you're saying, that you're saying you're connecting the dots between all of these things, and I don't know what to tell you about that. I certainly believe people are being targeted. I'm at this point, I'm not convinced that it's aliens that are responsible, or archons, or something of that order. However, I appreciate the call, Jay, in San Diego. Thank you for checking in. West of the Rockies. We're going west of the Rockies, and Drew is in the state of Washington. Drew, good morning.
Good morning. I've got two subjects I'd like to hit me. One of them is the mind control. I'm a former military out in 2010. I was in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. I can say within the last year, it's been really weird. There's been like a trigger word, and it starts with an A. I can't remember what it is. But every time I hear this word, it's happened twice now, and it's kind of rings in my head. And it makes me want to find who's saying that word. I don't know if someone is saying it, but it's just really weird. I get real antsy. My heart rate starts going. Kind of makes me want to go into battle.
Interesting. And is there any missing time after you hear this word?
No.
Okay. So you're present and accounted for at all times when you hear this word. It's curious though that you can't remember the word.
Yeah, I know it starts with an A. I'm just not sure. I'm going to start clearing a notepad on me so I can write it down when I do hear it. The second thing is medical experiments. I know I've definitely got experimented on while I was in the Marine Corps.
How so, Drew?
Well, I've gotten plenty of pills and shots that I don't know what they were. And when I did get them, I asked the corpsman, and, you know, I don't know. You're supposed to take it. You know, and I got checked off a list. And ever since then, cuts heal up rapidly. I've gotten surgery a couple times, and I've astounded my doctors because my stitches are scabbed up, almost about to fall off in a week. I had my gallbladder removed, and the next day I was back up working like nothing ever happened.
Sounds like they're creating sort of a Captain America scenario. Do you think you're being developed into a super soldier?
I think I was maybe at the time. It's interesting that it's still going on. I do know that my heart rate, every time I've gone in to see the doctor, my heart rate's been at least 108 to 118, and that's at rest. My white blood cell count has been about 300 points higher than normal. They don't know why. My cholesterol and everything, that's all right on point, perfect. So the doctors are kind of astounded. Just last month I had sinus surgery, and it was very intense sinus surgery. They had to do about everything in the book, and within a week, scabs were already starting to fall off. My sinus doctor is just amazed.
You're healing very quickly. Some might say abnormally quickly. Any other symptoms, Drew? Do you, for example, hear voices in your head?
Not really. It's just when that mind control thing goes, it makes me want to find who's saying it, and I don't know if I want to hurt the person or if I want to protect them. So it's happened twice now while I'm at work, and so I try not to find that person because I don't want to get in trouble and lose my job.
All right, Drew, listen, I don't know what's going on there, but stay in touch. Contact me through the website, richardserrett.com, and I'd like to know what's going on. Appreciate the call, and thanks again for your service. Let's say hi to James, who's checking in from Harrison, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Good morning, James.
Yeah, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, you remind me of Ian Punnett. I had talked to him about 3 years ago.
I appreciate that. I take that as a real compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, what I was wanting to talk about, I had tried for about 45 minutes when the lady was on earlier, and she was speaking about the mind control. And I'm in my late 40s, but when I was about 16 years old, I was going to a college in Oklahoma City, and I had met up with a gentleman that was an ex-researcher, Dr. Jay Shirley, who was one of the partners with, are you familiar with John Lilly, the inventor of the sensory isolation tank?
Yes, yes. Altered States,
they
remember that
movie.
They were
the ones, basically, they based that movie Altered States on.
That's right,
and,
yes.
Yeah, I was a psych major at the time, and I used to carry on long conversations. I never met John Lilly, but I used to carry on long conversations with Jay Shirley about different, aspects of REMs and sleep, and do we have precognitive things happen when we sleep, and this and that. And he would just go on about bits of things that might, happen. He said that he was able to control one fiber of his muscle in his leg consciously. And
right.
He was like a yogi,
right.
Is what he was.
Right, yes. You're talking about the power of the human mind, of course.
Yeah, yes, correct.
And how do you think, and how does this relate to mind control?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. That's why I wanted to get her take on it, because I went for about, 20 years, and, I haven't talked to Dr. Shirley since I've been, 16, 17 years old, but I used to talk to him, two or three times a week, and he would kind of give me the impression on the phone that he was, the scientist with the tobacco pipe in his mouth, and he would say stuff. I says, well, what was the purpose of some of this stuff? He was saying that when they invented the sensory isolation tank, they were doing research for the government with the sensory isolation tank using psychedelics back in the 60s. And
yes, I remember reading about that. I tried the sensory deprivation tank. It's your mind does start to play tricks on you. It's very bizarre. It can be relaxing.
Yes.
If you're not in the right state of mind, though, it can be very disconcerting, and I've had both experiences.
Yes, yes. If you ever watch the movie, the original, the upright sensory isolation tank that was in the original scene in the movie Altered State,
right,
was actually at the VA Medical Center in Oklahoma City, is where it was retired to 20 years ago.
All right, James, got to run. That music is coming up, which means we're heading into a break. Appreciate the call. Thank you. More open lines on Coast to Coast. My name is Richard Serrett. Stay with us. Learning to fly, Tom Petty. Learning to fly. Time flies. I can't believe it. Half an hour left in the program. Where did it go? What's that old Groucho Marx line? Time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. We were talking about the rise of the police state, or rather, George Norrie was, with a guest a couple of nights ago. And I'm just reading a story here on Coast to Coast AM's In the News section, which sort of speaks to this. And it's the article, you can find it right there again on the In the News section at Coast to Coast AM. Not science fiction. Miami wants to predict when and where crime will occur. Armed with high-tech software and years of crime data, Miami police believe they will soon be able to stop crimes by predicting when and where they will occur. It sounds a little like something out of a science fiction novel, but the department is in the process of adopting a system called Hunch Lab that produces maps showing small areas where specific crimes are likely to be committed during shifts. The Probability Program is a geographical version of predictive policing software, which more departments are using, even if, in the words of one supportive cop, it's kind of scary. Imagine, now they're using algorithms to predict future crimes. It's all starting to sound a little bit like Minority Report, isn't it? Back to open lines when Coast to Coast AM continues. Stay with us. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to the first-time caller line. David is in Buffalo. Good morning, David.
Yes, Richard. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, well, listen, I don't really know where to begin, but I just want to talk about this mind control thing, okay? I don't really look at it as a mind control. I look at it more as manipulating somebody, okay? And the technology, basically, I believe, to Dennis Kucinich, the former congressman from Ohio, I think he pretty much summed it up in his bill H.R. 2977. And, of course, they shut him down, too. But the bottom line is that I look under information technology. And I don't know if you're familiar with that term or not, because I really haven't listened to your show as much as I have the other shows because of my job schedule. But the bottom line is Dennis Kucinich called it information warfare, information technology, or information weapons. They're all synonymous, okay? And they operate pretty much like the same technologies that they came up with in Russia, only they called it psychotronics. You familiar with that term?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, all right, well, thank you so much. Anyway, these weapon systems are now in the hands of law enforcement, okay? And basically, they're in the hands of the sheriff departments. The sheriff departments, they signed a bill, or not a bill, but a memorandum of understanding between Janet Reno and then Secretary of Defense John Deutsch in 1994. Now, these weapon systems were, they came out long before that, but they just got around to signing it in 1994. Basically, it said that these systems, these advanced systems, would be available to law enforcement. Now, they've had several articles in the Washington Post and other newspapers about these weapon systems, but they're very vague, okay? The bottom line is that they're killing us, okay? I have been a party to this for 32 years, and this is nothing.
What's going on with you? What's going on with you in your case?
In my case, you just start with the top of my head and work down to my feet. They've literally hit me with infrasounds. They've hit me with acoustics. They've hit me with just everything that they have within the information technology. In other words, it's a combination of many technologies in one, but they call it information warfare. Now, if you look back at the original time when it came on TV, they talked about it on 60 Minutes. It was called Shoot, Not to Kill. I don't know if you're familiar with that 60-minute episode. It came out in 1996.
They're talking about non-lethal weapons.
Exactly. But the thing of it is that they're not non-lethal. There's no such thing as a non-lethal weapon. These weapons kill. They may call them slow kill, but the bottom line is that they still kill you.
How long have you been targeted, David? How long?
32 years, since 1983, April.
And why?
And why? I believe that anybody, first of all, can be a target, okay? I believe that the system has been around long enough, 30-plus years, the same way they targeted my grandmother. Okay, not with this, but, you know, with the DOD experiments, with the Montreal 9 experiments, with the, they had MK Ultra. You've been talking about that. They've had several research projects, and one just shifts to the other. Okay, and
so it is generational then.
Oh yes, it's generational. I mean, the DOD, they killed 500,000 people, and they only paid out $4.8 million for 11 families of the victims. okay, and one person was alive at the time that they, you know, they pulled up. They never had any consent forms or anything like that, you know, for these.
Well, wait a second. When you say the Defense Department killed 500,000 people?
The Department of Energy.
Department of Energy. Oh, the DOE. I'm sorry.
The
okay.
DOE.
And,
okay.
Okay. Can you explain?
They came out and said that they didn't even say they were sorry. They just said that thought they were doing the right thing because of the post World War episode. They needed to find out how individuals' bodies would react to radiation, whether it's plutonium, whatever it was, they would inject it. They had all these different people working in collusion with hospitals and nursing homes, and people were screaming and hollering out. But it went on for 30 years, from the 40s until the 70s, until they had this Senate subcommittee. They finally, with their backs against the wall, they finally did something. In fact, Derek Robinson, I went with him in June of 2006 with Ted Gunderson and people from all around the country, you know, wanting to speak at the Bioethics Commission. But, they only got maybe 20 people to speak, okay? And then it was very, very vague because, you know, people, you have no idea what an individual goes through. I mean, it's just painful. I mean, they've literally exploded my left leg. They blew my rotator cuff out on my left shoulder. They blew a tooth out of my head, okay? I have it all documented. I mean, this is brutal stuff. This is the same thing Robert Duncan has talked about, but he's done very little, to come through. Somebody that knows so much, he's done nothing really as far as shielding.
Well, Robert is not here to defend himself, so let's be careful about casting aspersions.
I've talked to Mark Phillips. I went to his house. Mark Phillips was former CIA. Ted Gunderson, I worked with him from 1991, right up, and he was a senior special agent in charge of the FBI in Los Angeles. I worked with him from 1991, okay? And he came out. Now he's dead. He died on my wife's birthday, July 31st, 2011. I mean, it's like a nonstop thing. These people, they try to do something, and then they disappear. Okay.
Do you use a Faraday cage or anything like that, David? How do you protect yourself?
I don't. I'm married. I'm not going to sleep in my bed with my wife. Okay, in a Faraday cage. Okay, that's not going to happen. She's been targeted as well. Not in the same way that I have, but she's been targeted. In fact, she just came out of the hospital 2 days ago. It's very bad, Richard. It's very, very bad.
How have you managed to survive all these years?
Well, quite frankly, I believe in God. You know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am an elder in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm an ordained elder in the Worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I have survived only because of him, and I thank you for taking my phone calls. I've been trying to get a hold of somebody over there for years and years and years. I never got through.
Well, you're here now. You got it said, and we appreciate it, David. And I'm terribly sorry for your plight. Just keep praying. It's obviously worked and kept you here for 32 years. So you're winning, not them. Vicki is in San Francisco on the west of the Rockies line. Vicki, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Actually, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of, some kind of ability to take control and take a look at some of these things that you're talking about as far as mind control is concerned. The MIT Press put out an architecture, art, and media politics reference book, basically, of, very good journalistic, credibly reference, anyway, things that have to do with the idea of mind control. And it has to do with the ideas of brainwashing, brain warfare, Pavlovian.
Vicki, do you believe that you're a targeted individual?
Of course I don't. But actually, I do teach at this point in time, and so this is kind of some of my repertoire that I grab things from.
Okay, Vicki, I'm not sure what the problem is with your phone, but it's kind of muffled and it's hard to hear from you. So I apologize, but I'm going to have to move on, and we're going to go east of the Rockies and say hi to Greg in Cincinnati. Good morning, Greg.
Hello.
Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to reiterate: you need to listen to everything these people are saying. It is absolute truth. How it's being done, I have no idea, but mind reading is 100% real. I'm a victim of it at this very moment. And how it's one theory I had working was the metal that is supposedly being dumped out of the airplanes. The
aluminum particulates? Right, aluminum particulates. That's the theory. Anyway, yes. Geoengineering.
It's in our bloodstream and glow, and you know, just glow to some sort of radar. Being bombarded at us. We're just spitting back signals for them, and they can grab pictures out of our heads that are clear as day. The people.
And why do you suspect that your mind is being read remotely?
Because I speak to two people every minute of every day. And let me tell you, when I say I wish to God I was a schizophrenic, that would be so much easier. These people can be relentless, and what they're able to do to our bodies, I mean, it can become sexual in nature, not become, actually is, and it can get as uncomfortable as anything you have ever felt, and they can do it for as long as they like, and they could do it for a matter of minutes until you're driven to suicide. I mean, they can do anything that they please. And who it's given to. They seem to be absolute just imbeciles. Why it would be given to people like this, I have no idea to use. But it's given to them, and they're using it at their own free will. And this country has been given away to citizens who are willing to attack other citizens. And it's a sad thing, but it has been done. And if no one's going to do anything, what are we left to do? That's my question.
Well, Greg, as far as the mind reading technology, I mean, they are progressing with that. I remember reading studies out of Berkeley, and my first response is when I read an article and they're talking about, you know, how far along they are with a particular piece of technology. And thanks for the call, Greg. When they talk about, for example, at MIT, being able to now implant false memories in a mouse. They can do this now. This came out of MIT a couple of years ago. My first thought is, that's what they're telling us, but how much further along are they? 20 years, maybe? I keep remembering the words of Ben Rich from Skunk Works, who said on his deathbed to a journalist, "We have things in hangars out in the desert that are 50 years beyond your wildest imagination, 50 years beyond." So the public's not ready for that yet. So that when they're telling us that they now can implant false memories in mice, I immediately think they're 50 years beyond that. They can implant false memories in people. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's where my mind goes. And when I'm reading now out of Berkeley that they're just starting to scratch the surface of mind-reading technology, scanning the brain and being able to interpret that data into actual thoughts, I'm thinking they're much further along. Let's say hi to Ricardo in Fontana, California, on the wildcard line. Ricardo, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Richard.
I've just got like 2 minutes here, so can you keep it nice and concise for me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, to begin, I want to say that I agree with a lot of your callers. I was married for 6 years, years ago, okay? And on the first 6 months of my relationship, we weren't legally married. We were just living together. I realized that I didn't want to be with her, so I wanted to leave her. And what she did, she cut out 3 chunks of my hair, like a triangle, upside down, And I don't know what she did with the hair. But the next day, I woke up happier, and I would believe anything that she said. I wasn't exactly in love with her, but I had a lot of loyalty to her. And I believed her anything. Anything she would say, I would believe. And I was working for her and everything. I knew I wasn't happy, but I was still with her. Later on, she did it to me again, and I ended up, you know, divorcing her. After I divorced her, I went through a lot of stuff. And I found out that what she did on me was one thing called binds.
And a binding spell. A binding spell.
Yeah,
sure.
A binding spell. So all these things that they're talking about mind control technology, I don't think it's anything new. I've done a lot of research on my own, too. And this comes from native tribes from over here, from the Americas. And they used to do all that, and they still do it to a lot of people.
Sounds like, yeah, it sounds like your ex was performing some sort of witchcraft or occult ritual.
Oh, yeah. She told a bunch of my coworkers what she did. And I work in a setting where there's a lot of law enforcement coming in, and my coworkers told law enforcement officers. And they were aware of it. However, there's nothing they could do about it because there's nothing to prove. There's nothing that you can measure or weigh. However, she did all this stuff for me. And my point of the phone call, I don't think this is anything new. I think it's been going on for a long time, for a lot of years. And the government is probably adopting this and using it in a different way. But I do agree with everyone. And while I was with her under this spell, I had so many problems. I had the biggest problems of my life. I got into physical fights on the street. I got kicked out from my school. I got fired from work. I got arrested.
And how about now? Now that you've left her, how are things, Ricardo?
Oh, everything is way better. However, after I left her, it took me about a year to regain my mind, okay, to recollect all my thoughts.
Well, you got out, and that's the main thing, Ricardo. Listen, got to scoot. I appreciate the call. Thank you, all of you, for your calls. For George Norrie, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Dan Galante, Dave Hines, Chris Burrows, Sean Latasor, and here in Toronto, Patrick Malkin, Scott Guest, Sean Salazo, and Gord Harris. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your voices, your beautiful voices.